Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to more Boston sports talk. Gresh and Keith on EEI.
Boy, what a coincidence. Matthew Lopresti bringing in Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Tommy breaks down some Patriots with us on the Harbor One hotline to kick off hour three of Gresh and Keith and to kick off this noontime hour. And Tommy, as we noted a little bit earlier, you had a little bit of a hair-raising situation with your dog, Bo Curran, yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he's always pulling capers. And I have a spare key. We share the particular car in question, my youngest son and I. We platoon. Mm-hmm. And there was a key that is always in it, but I also had taken my big set of keys and put them on the passenger seat because they have my AirPods. And I went into Dunkin' Donuts, and I, of course, can see the car the whole time, and I don't know why, I leave it running. And when I came out, Bo was excited to see me, and he stepped on the lock button and locked the car, and I realized he's locked in there with both sets of keys and the car running. I said, "This is not a good caper for you," and he just like smiled. So,
did you ask him to unlock it? And what was his reaction?
I swear to God, I did. I walked.
I would have too. I would have done the same thing. Like, come on, buddy, just unlock
it. I'm trying to get him excited on the passenger seat and jump up and down, but he doesn't jump.
He's like, no. He seemed pretty calm and collected about the whole thing.
Yep. So he was happy with the attention.
Tom, one of the big storylines coming out of the Cowboys game, and I know you talked about it, was the decisions on fourth down. A lot of fourth and shorts and a lot of punts. What did you make of that?
I love this conversation because it does cut to the modern NFL and what is employed by certain folks in certain spaces as to how to break down the game. And while analytics is outstanding in baseball and basketball, and you can certainly learn a lot from it in football, there are so many moving parts. All that said, fourth and three at the 46 in overtime, with your defense having been gone through like poop through a goose for most of the game, and even for the first half of the game the previous week against Houston, you probably need to get your mind around the fact that the best player you have on your 53 might be Mac Jones and let him make a play. Mm-hmm. So I found Josh McDaniel's take on it interesting in that he said, look, it was Bill's decision. I always want to go. So why is Bill making that decision? In my belief, it is he has more confidence in that side of the ball. It's one he knows better. It's one that's staffed with more veteran players. It's one that he thinks he is more attuned with the coaching staff, Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo, to get in a call they want. He wants to be in control, and that's blissfully ignorant. I don't like saying it. Calling him a coward is blissfully ignorant.
I know. Yeah.
So I would say that is hoping against hope in what you're seeing that all 11 guys are going to do what they're supposed to do. And they got to dumb it down, and they got to start, in my estimation, start trusting their offense as perhaps being better than their defense when we look to which unit is better.
Tommy, is this the perfect opponent at the perfect time, given some of the injury issues that the Patriots have been dealing with the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, definitely. And there's the injury issues, but, you know, people I talk to around the team, in the team, they feel they're awfully, awfully, awfully close to putting things together. And I get why they would, on both sides of the ball especially. I think offensively last week, they were motoring for three drives, Then they had the waved off touchdown, then the demoralizing strip sack. And that, I think, probably took a dent. I think that entered into a little bit of their late second quarter decision making as to how they were going to proceed, not wanting to put a guy who almost got sawed in half in a position to maybe give the ball back to Dallas. But yeah, I think that they think they're on the cusp. So while there've been injuries, Gresh, I think they still regard themselves, as John Smith said last hour, we're a 2-4 team that's not a 2-4 team. So they're better than their record indicates, sure, but their record is what right. Their record is.
I think every single week, Tom, we assume the Patriots have the coaching advantage, and yet we've now seen over these 6 weeks a couple of blocked punts, this past week some delay of games, a guy not knowing to go in motion, a guy not knowing how to line up, and like all these different things. Where is it fair to ask if this team is well coached?
Yeah, it's fair to ask that. It's also fair to speculate that they overrate how well they're coaching them during the week. That, to me, is the biggest thing. Are they good coaches? Yeah, absolutely. I do believe that to be the case. They can figure out how to put a plan together to beat teams. But I think that there's a continual overestimation of how well these guys are going to play. We have, and there's coaching error as well. You look at that 3rd and 25
right.
that they convert. Well, why is there a single high safety? Why are you playing with one safety instead of two safeties? Why are Dont'a Hightower and Kyle Van Noy on the field if they're not going to rush, which they did not? If you're at a critical point like that and the guy needs a Freddie Mitchell play, get all your defensive backs on the field. Make them beat you there. So to me, I think that's a misstep. And if you're going to take that misstep after deciding you didn't want to go for it on fourth down, well, it's kind of operator error. Same way it's operator error when there's Jarwin scoring on a touchdown in the red zone, the same way Eau Claire did, the same way Kamara did, all uncovered defensively. So they're good coaches. They don't know what they have defensively yet, and I think that they have to dumb it down. I think I said that last week, too.
Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston with us on the Harbor One Hotline, breaking down everything Patriots. Tommy, in a lot of different years, and Keith and I talked about this yesterday, Bill Belichick would be able to say, I need this or I need this. It's one or two things. You go get an offensive lineman or a corner to complete the set. And now it feels like there maybe aren't holes on the roster, but there are too many of those guys that you might look to move off or try to add. How do you see the looming trade deadline for the Patriots? Because I'm getting a sense that, for better or worse, it seems like Bill Belichick is willing to put a lot of different guys out there, and when they make the mistake, sit them down, but not cut them completely.
I agree, and that to me is an indicator that that's not what he is going to expect long-term from that player, whether it's Haran or Mwenu or maybe Yasir Durant. I'm not sure that's a great example, but if the Patriots make a move, I don't think it will be for a frontline player because – in my estimation, they believe that their roster at every position is staffed with starter-level players. We could debate whether or not that's true. But in their secondary, I think they have the artillery to play better. Again, Phil Perry did a great job of actually bringing to the fore a decision made last week against Dallas. They dressed a crap ton of linebackers, yet they left Miles Bryant down on the practice squad and did not elevate him. They didn't need that many linebackers against a team that had that much offensive potency in terms of throwing. So, yeah, they can run it, but when you don't have Stephon Gilmore and Jonathan Jones has been dinged up a little bit, and, you know, J.C. Jackson's going to be asked to do an awful lot, and Jalen Mills is just coming off an injury, that might have been a misstep as well. But the upshot of what you're asking, Gresh, I think that they feel comfortable that they have frontline players, starting level players at each spot. They are just continually trying to get to know what they're good at, and it's taken a while.
When you look at their wide receivers and tight ends, we all assumed going into this year that they were going to be light years better than they were last year. Even if you didn't think these guys were all pro, just compared to what it was last year, in reality, how much better are they really from last year's group?
Tight ends? I mean, I think you would agree. It's not even a comparison. I mean, I would say that they're probably in the top dozen tight end groups in the league, and they were 32nd last year. Agree on that?
So I think Jonnu Smith is horrible. Like, I really can't.
But is he always going to be horrible?
Well, six straight weeks of it. I'm like, no, fool me once, fool me twice.
A game or two.
Yeah, maybe. No, Hunter Henry's definitely way better than anything they had last year. That part is true. Okay. I just thought as a group, it would look even better than it does.
I guess,
yeah.
So relative to the expectation where I thought these guys would be going into their seventh game at wide receiver and tight end.
Yeah.
Bourne is what you would hope that he would be. Myers has elevated, except for that horrendous drop. Mm-hmm. He continues to get better. Aguilar has come. If you wanted to be glass half full or glass half empty, the glass half empty people when he was signed are the ones who are being proven right. He's proving to be, as Isaiah Wynn and Trent Brown are as well, and at different positions, are proving to play like they usually do, with the outlier being when they're on the field and productive.
Mm-hmm.
Or with Aguilar, the season in Oakland last year, Las Vegas. So I guess overall, I can't look at what they made as decisions at the skill positions last year or in the offseason and say, geez, wow, a whole bunch of swings and misses there.
Tommy, the one thing that Keith and I discussed was you've got pros elsewhere, but if you had that one threat on the outside, then it might change everything. And maybe what we found with this offense is sans Brady, and you're kind of back to sort of the star of the offense is really the system. You need the one guy on the outside that can make a big difference, and that might open up for the rest of these guys who right now appear to be eminently average and nothing more than that.
Yeah, and to me, I think people bristle at the notion of an outside-the-numbers receiver who has to change everything, and I get why, because you know they didn't necessarily have that all the time. But they did in times. Brandon Cooks certainly was that, and Brandon Lloyd was that, and they were productive players. I think the bigger thing to me, Gresh, is that one guy who defensive coordinators come into during the week and say, this is the guy we have to have eyes on all the time or he's going to kill us. That was Edelman. That was Gronkowski. There were times that was Danny Amendola. I think Kendrick Bourne can be a Danny Amendola-level player. It's going to take a couple of years for him to get that kismet that Amendola had with Brady. But they don't have anybody, whether it's Gronkowski or Amendola or Welker, or even Brandon Cooks, where you're going, holy crap, this guy's going to really threaten us. So you're right. I don't know if it has to be that field stretcher, but it has to be somebody who's off the charts good at their particular skill to make defenses say, we got to send 2.5 guys after him.
Tommy Curran, off the charts good with us each and every Wednesday, and you'll hear him as a part of NFL Sunday as well. Tommy, thank you, and good luck with Bill B. Hoodsworth here in a few minutes.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
There we go. Thanks, we'll talk to you. There goes Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. By the way, Tommy is brought to us by Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. By Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tom E. Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.